Someone asked me a few minutes ago what was my favorite public speaking tip, and I said, the power of the pause. So this was it. So, first of all, I would like to thank the worship team for setting the atmosphere for what God is planning to do today and for that anointed prayer. I didn't tell anyone that I was going to have the opportunity to speak today on purpose, but I can tell that the Spirit was moving already, and so I'm very grateful for what they do and what they did this morning. So several years ago, I went with one of my friends to her grandson's church. He was about five, and they were doing a children's program, and we got there. The kids were asked to recite a scripture verse that they had been given and they had to memorize. He was about five, so when we got there, she pulled him aside and she was like, look, when it's your turn to speak, I want you to stand up nice and tall, and I want you to speak nice and loud so I can hear you in the back. And so he said, okay. So the program started, and the kids were coming up in turn, and finally it was his turn. And he stood up nice and tall in the way that a five-year-old can. And then he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know what I want. The whole church lost it. I looked at my friend and I said, was that loud enough for you? Well, he was confused. He got the words mixed up. But in actuality, we kind of do that. We ask God for things that we want, but they're not the things that we need. And oftentimes the things that he knows we need, it don't look like what we want. We don't want it. And so today I'm going to share with you some things from the 23rd Psalm, and I want to tell you a little bit of how I got here. So a few months ago, my link group took a two-week journey through the 23rd Psalm, and it was a collective endeavor. So Sean Corbin made the mistake of asking the question, well, what's up with the still waters? Like, how does that happen? And we're like, we don't know. Find out. So he did some research. Laura and Chris did some research on the nature and traits of a sheep, because God referenced us as sheep oftentimes, so we needed to know what that likeness was. And unlike many people who think sheep are dumb, I don't know if they are or not, but I prefer to think they just are dependent by default. We happen to have the luxury, if you want to call it that, of choosing whether or not we want to be dependent and to whom or what we want to be dependent to. But I digress. So as we were studying this, let me go through the other thing. So Laura did that, and then Renal did some research on the rod and the staff, and I was amazed. Like, there was so much history about that that I didn't know about. A lot of these things were new to me. And so that's the reason that I want to share this psalm with you today, because oftentimes because we know things, we know the words, and same way with people, we think we know things because we know about them, but that's not the same as knowing it. And there was just so much in this particular psalm. So I'm going to read it, but before I do that, I would like to frame it a little bit. So it's written by David, which most of you know, and he wrote it 3,000 years ago. It was powerful, encouraging, strengthening, comforting then, and it still is 3,000 years later. There is a little bit of discrepancy about when David wrote it, whether it was when he was a shepherd, which was his profession, or when he was a king. Most people tend to think the latter, and I do as well. And the reason I think that is that it certainly, the analogy certainly pulls from his profession as a shepherd, but it also speaks to me about experiences, good and bad, that he had with God by his side. The psalm is six verses, not particularly long, very picturesque. It has 118 words, not a whole lot. In Hebrew, it's 55 words, but it is so dense with meaning and showing us who God is and who he wants to be to us. So I'm going to share it with, I'm going to read it now, and I just want you to follow it along. You don't have to say it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am betting that most of you know this psalm by heart. I memorized it, and I don't even know when it happened because I'm not typically good at that, but you hear it all the time. Usually for me, it's at funerals when someone's crossed over. It's on a greeting card for someone that you know have sympathy for. You may even see it on tombstones, and people who aren't even believers often know it. The words, but not really the full meaning, which I am hoping to be able to share with you what we cumulatively discovered in our 2 weeks. When I first came to Horizon, I used to hear people stand here. It was usually Clay, but not always. And they would talk about Dallas Willard, and I had no idea who he was. I'm like, okay. But then it kept coming up, and then other people, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? He sounds like he knows stuff. Well, today, I feel so grown up because I actually have a Dallas Willard quote. We must come to an awareness in our own minds concerning the nature of God. That is, we must think about God in ways that match what God is like. Without harmony between our ideas about God and his true character, we will never be able to make the kind of contact or connection with God that will give us confidence, grounded in our experience and the complete sufficiency of God to provide for our needs. I thought this was appropriate for today because the whole psalm, all six verses, are meaningless if you don't trust the shepherd, if you don't know the shepherd. Sometimes we just say the words and we really don't know. So God wants us to know him. He's knowable. I mean, imagine that. This is the God of the universe. He's knowable, and he wants us to know him. I'm going to go through the verses one by one. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything that's in here for two reasons. One, I don't know it all. I'm still learning, as that this two-week journey showed me. But two, the word is opening up to us. Today, I'm probably going to learn something that I didn't know when I came up here, and I'm hoping that you will too. So before I go through the first verse, I'm going to ask you to do an exercise with me. I want you to take your hands and put them in front of you, fist balled tight. Everybody got it? Now I want you to open them like this. This is the posture that we need to be in. Open. Mind. Heart. Ears. Because sometimes thinking we know something, you can put them down now. Sometimes thinking we know something gets in the way. Our familiarity gets in the way. The first scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is this Lord? Because it matters, especially if he's going to be your shepherd. The word thy here implies that the thing that's coming after it is unique. It's one of a kind. It's not a Lord. It's not our Lord. It's not even my Lord. It is the Lord. That's a truth. Whether we believe it or not, that's a truth. Those little words can easily get skipped over because we know them. The Lord. God reveals himself in scriptures, in the Old Testament especially, using different names to imply different aspects of who he is. So if you were to ask me who I am, me, I could tell you I am a child of God who goes by the name Diana. I am a mother. I am a daughter. I am a grandmother. I am a granddaughter. I am a teacher. I am a greeter. Today I am a speaker. All of these things show you different aspects of who I am. And it's the same with God. Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner, our victor. Jehovah Tekinu, the Lord of righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord with us or is present with us. That's the Lord that we're talking about. And that list of names are all reflected in those six verses. And I'm encouraging you to read them on your own after today. Every day this week, read them on your own so it can get in your spirit. David said, the Lord is a verb, as I'm sure everybody here knows. It's action. Is, he was 3,000 years ago for David. He is for us today. If we make it into next week, he is. He still is. He still is. That's a little word that is easy to skip over. David's affirmation, I guess is what I would call it, tells us that he had a relationship with God. He wasn't just somebody he knew off to the side. He had an actual relationship. So the people that you have those intimate relationships with, they know you in a different way. They know the various facets. They know you're vulnerable with them. David had that with the Lord. He said, I shall not want. Now, that's kind of crazy because I'm always wanting something, and I'm sure some of you are as well. But he doesn't mean it like that. What he means is, his perspective is, he will supply everything that I need. So if you don't have it, it's because you don't need it. And what we need from him, because everything that he allows in our lives is to bring us more into the image of who he is. And sometimes that's how those things happen when you're going through. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Who is this he? What is it that the shepherd does? He protects the sheep. Sheep are such pitiful creatures. If they get attacked by anything, predator, and sometimes the predators could be humans, they can't do anything. They can't run fast. They can't posture themselves. They can't growl. I mean, unless you call Ba a growl. They don't have sharp teeth. They can't fly. They are at the mercy of whatever is around them. But a good shepherd is going to make them feel safe. Sheep have many adversaries. Some of them are wolves, foxes, lions, bears, bobcats, coyotes. You remember in Samuel, when Sam was talking to Saul, I think it was, and he was like, there was a bear at some, well, I think it was plural, bears and lions that had the lamb in their mouths and wouldn't let go, and he attacked. That's the kind of shepherd David was as a man. Can you imagine the Lord as your shepherd and protector? The Lord knows what's in the best interest of the sheep, despite what we think, myself included. He sets boundaries. At night when the sheep come in, they create some sort of circle or shed or whatever they call them, and he sleeps across the door so that if a predator comes, they get to him first. He protects the sheep. The boundaries, God's word, are to protect us. He uses the hook on his staff to pull away, or pull from harm, I should say, a stray sheep for two reasons. Sheep just stray. They don't know about the danger around them until it's too late. They're going to be somebody's snack if the shepherd isn't paying attention. I didn't know this until Renald did the research. The only profession where a staff is used for any type of animal care or anything else for that matter. So it's kind of interesting. There's something that we learned that happened to sheep sometimes when they're overweight, or maybe they're pregnant, which still might be overweight, or because they haven't been sheared and they're heavy with wool, or they're just overweight because of, you know, eating too much, whatever. And they fall over, and they call it cast down. And when a sheep is on its back, it is helpless to get up. The body is kind of weird, and the back is flat. It can't pull itself up. So imagine it's laying on its back, legs this way, all the vulnerable parts open. If the shepherd doesn't catch that and flip him over, he's just the next meal for whatever comes along. But if it stays, if he manages to survive that, gases build up. And in a few hours, the sheep will die from heart failure. We need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. The green pastures that verse 2 talks about, I envision them like what you see here in our country, just, you know, velvet green. And they did have that, but not all year like I thought. So a lot of times when they're going up the mountain, when the shepherd is taking the sheep up the mountains and down the ravines and what have you for the water, there's just like tufts of grass. So it's enough for the sheep to get a mouthful or two. And then they have to look to the shepherd for their next mouthful or two. It's not just, you know, if they were constantly in a bed of green, they would probably overindulge and never need to be dependent for food. The still waters, sheep are very skittish, and so the sound of running water is frightening to them. I still find that hard to wrap my head around, but it is true. So what the shepherd has to do is, and the word here is like, he makes them to lie down in the green pastures. And let me go back there for a minute. He makes them lie down. He makes them. He has to do some things for it to be possible for them to rest. They will not rest if they are frightened, if they feel endangered, if they're hungry, if they've got bugs on them, or if there's hostility within the flock itself. They can't rest. So he has to make sure all of those provisions have been taken care of for them to rest. And then he leads them. He takes them to the still waters. So the fact that he's leading them and they can't drink from water that's moving means that it's not about the water itself. It's about the one who took you to the water, because he will dam up the stream so that the water is still, or create something that would be much like a trough or a cup or something, so that they can drink and the waters are still. The shepherd does a lot of work. He restores my soul. Restoration is the act of bringing something back to its original usable condition. He restored our soul. When he leads you in the path of righteousness, and it says, for his name's sake, because his name is actually on the line in our lives. He wants the world to see how faithful, I love the song that you were singing today, how faithful he is to provide for our needs. People are looking at us, and we get to determine to some extent what they see, because we can either let God or we can continue to depend on ourselves. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to park here for a minute, because the reason people think that this particular psalm is suited for funerals, which it is because of this verse. But this song is very much for us living, for the day to day. What the original version says is deepest, darkest valleys. that means you lost your job. Your kids are sick. For me, in 2021, my son-in-law was one of the casualties of COVID. I was so broken up. I couldn't imagine how my only child's husband, not her boyfriend, not some guy she knew, her husband and their two children lost to COVID. I couldn't imagine. Now, I'm trying to be there for them, be there for my grandkids who were devastated, as you can imagine, be there for his mom who had already lost her only other son. I was like, God, I don't see how I'm going to do this. Every night, I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But here I am. Here I am. I came out more sure of God's faithfulness. It didn't change the situation. It didn't make me happy about it. But I was more sure because of that experience with him, because he met me where I was. The reason we don't have to fear evil is because if God is your protector, what's there to fear? I was having a conversation with someone, and I'm like, no, God's promises are either true or they're not. If you only believe they're true when things are going well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is partly about discipline, but it's also the symbol of strength and protection. The staff is a symbol of God's loving kindness. They can bring us comfort. You prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and I'm going to confess, what I used to think this meant was my enemies were watching, and I wasn't saying this, but in my mind I was like, nah, 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 look what I got. But that's not really what it means, sadly. But when you are stressed out, fearful, don't know which way to go, and all of these different ways that it shows up, it's hard for you to rest. It's hard for you to enjoy a meal, but he's saying, like, in the midst, he's not going to remove all of that. In the midst of all that, you're going to be able to relax and enjoy what the Lord has provided for you. He anoints my head with oil. In that culture, that was something that you did to refresh visitors, you know, they put it on their, it was a way of offering refreshment. And it was a big deal when you had guests. I mean, you went all out. Like, we do that here. Probably most of us do that in some form or another, but it didn't matter who the guest was. You were protecting them. You were making sure they were cared for. That's kind of how it was. So he anointed his head, and that's a sign of favor and prosperity. My cup overflows. So I work with kids, and if any of you have ever worked with kids under 5, you know, like, you start to know, like, the spillers. Like, I know this one gonna put their hands in the cup, don't matter that I said not to. I know this one is gonna see what happens if. So you give them a little bit. And you're like, but you can come back for more. You try to fix it up. You can come back and you can get more. And then the ones that you know can handle it, you give them a full cup. But God does way more than that. He said, overflows. More than you need. More. Overflow. Surely, goodness and mercy. There's no question about it. 100% you can count on it if the Lord is your shepherd. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. what he says follow here is kind of mild. What it really means is chase you, pursue you. He really wants you. He wants all of us. And if we are in Christ, he got us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of my life, and I and you get to dwell in the house, as David will, in the house forever, like eternity. I think it's, I know what it is, actually. John 17:3, give me a second here, says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And this is what eternal life is, that we know God, not know about him, know him. He wants us to be intimate with him. That means investing time with him in the word, talking to him, listening to him. Before I close, I want to say this. If there's anyone here who wants the Lord to be their shepherd and don't know how to get from where you are to where he is, I've been in that spot where I knew God was speaking to me and I'm like, it's too embarrassing, God, because I've been looking like I have it all together and I don't. I can't do it. I'll do it another time and when it's a little more private. I'm not going to ask you to come up. But what I am going to ask you to do is not ignore it if it's you, if he's talking to you. Ask the person next to you if they can help you or can lead you to someone who can help you. Come see me. I will do my best to help you. But do not leave knowing that that's you. Don't do that because it's a trick. And it's not. And God is not trickery. Don't do it. Go to someone. I'm going to ask you to read the 23rd Psalm with me this time. This picture of who God is, this revelation of who he wants to be to us, his reminder that we can depend on him. Read it with me with that understanding in mind. Join me, please. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I thank you for this day, for this space of time, and I thank you, God, for meeting us where we are and continue to meet us through this week, God, that we will come to know you in a deeper, more real way than we do today. In Jesus' name.